Thank you, Mr. Taylor, for that nice, warm introduction. Good afternoon to everyone. It's a delight to be with you all on God's Weekly Festival. Warm in here, in more ways than one. The title of this split sermon, Sensitivity. And let's begin by going to Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, we read in verses 22 and 23, the fruits of the Spirit. Now stay with me on this, because the fruits of the Spirit are where we begin. It comes first in order for you and me to develop and increase in godly character. We must first develop, improve, and exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. And that's the purpose of this message. That's the thesis. That's what I want to share with you in this split sermon, that you and me, brethren, increase in godly character. I'm sure we all desire to accomplish that. When we assimilate the fruits of the Spirit first, we are in actuality developing a certain portion of God's very character, and that enables us to develop godly character. Character is the actual essence, the very purpose of our life. What I would like to share with you in this message are the 9 fruits of the Spirit. I would like to state each and every one of them individually and then accompany each fruit with a scripture that is applicable to the fruit and comment on it and see how it can benefit us with the purpose we have for this message, developing godly character. Let's begin with the first fruit, the most important of all. Love. Agape love. Love first and foremost in our life for God, and love for our fellow man equal to ourself. Let's go to Romans 13, verse 8. Romans 13, verse 8. Few pages back in my Bible, actually a few pages back in all Bibles. Romans 13, verse 8. For whether we live to the Lord, and whether we die and die to the Lord. Brethren, that's not the scripture. Oh, I'm from Romans 12. Excuse me. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That's pretty straightforward. God is telling us there that we should love all people, not just those that we get along with. I want to share something personal with you. I believe most of you know that I frequent the villages on a regular basis, once, twice a week. And I go to the square. That's where the entertainment is. That's where the entertainment takes place. And I regularly sit in the left-hand corner facing the stage. Behind me are the bleachers. Alongside of me, there's a bench about 2.5 foot high, about 7 foot long. Then there's the railing, and the square continues on. On a consistent basis, a senior citizen like myself, comes with his little Bichon dog, and he comes and meets me, and we exchange pleasantries. And I'm always pleasant to him. I'm always polite on the outside. But on the inside, on the inside, I'm in effect saying, I hope he doesn't stay long, because he has a personal hygiene habit. He has bad odor. And I'm saying, I hope he doesn't stay too long. And he doesn't. I've reflected on that. And in effect, I've said to myself, am I really showing love to this man on the inside? And that's where God looks. No, I'm not. And I became upset with myself. And I said, you know what? I'm going to make a change here. I'm going to be determined to love this man no matter what. I'm just going to love him. And that's going to be my attitude. And the next time he came, once again, we exchanged pleasantries. And he began to leave. And I said to him, Bruce, that's his name. You don't have to leave so quickly. He went to his chair. He sits about 10 feet adjacent from where I'm sitting. He went to his chair. 2 minutes later, he came back. He said, you know, you're right. I don't have to leave so quickly. And then he just started talking about everything and anything. I don't remember anything he said. I'll tell you what I do remember. He was very comfortable and relaxed speaking to me. And so was I, very comfortable and relaxed inside and outside speaking to him. Next time he came, once again he came, we exchanged pleasantries. Now he sits on the bench right alongside of me and he just talks until he's finished talking. And we are comfortable, relaxed. And he goes to his chair, and he stays about an hour, and then he leaves with his Bichon dog, and we wave to each other. Now, what's the point? How does that apply to you and me? What's the point? How about us? Can we make progress in loving someone that's not so lovable? Can we make some progress in that area in our life? Yes, we can. If we are sensitive, and that's the key, sensitive to God's Holy Spirit working in our life. Let's go to fruit number two, joy, Proverbs 8, verse 17 through 19. And this may surprise you why I select this scripture for joy, Proverbs 8, verse 17 through 19. Proverbs 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I read that verse the first thing every single morning when I pick up the Bible. God says he loves those who love him and seek him early, so I seek him early. What better way to start than God telling you he loves you? Verse 18. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. My fruit is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I want to share something else with you personal. My trials in the past, right up until the present, for the most part, can be resolved by money, with money. But God says his fruit is more valuable than gold and silver, than money. How so? Well, brethren, money of and by itself does not produce godly character. And money is temporary. After this life, it's gone. But when you and me increase, improve, develop the fruits of the Spirit, and advance in godly character, that is far, far more precious than all of the gold and silver in the world, because that becomes a part of us. That becomes who we are, and that stays with us forever. And that is a joy within that transcends human understanding. How about you? How about me? How about us? Can we increase in our life with that type of joy? I believe we can. If we are sensitive to God's Holy Spirit working with or within us, that's how. Fruit number three, peace. Philippians 4, verse 6. Towards the end of the book. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, brethren, when we give our cares, our anxieties, our needs, even our wants to God, we actually give them to Him. There's a certain peace we experience. I have a habit, maybe I'm alone in this category, of giving my anxieties to God and then taking them back. But if we leave them with God, do what we can. If we leave them with God, do what we can, we're going to experience peace, brethren. Why? Because in 1 Peter 4, God says, place all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Can we make some progress in peace in our life? Sure we can. If we're sensitive to God's Spirit working in our lives. Let's go to fruit number four. Long-suffering, which can be construed as patience. Proverbs 15, verse 18. Proverbs 15, verse 18. A wrathful man, an angry man, stirreth up strife. You know they do. Angry individuals are regularly contentious. They seek to have their own way. They just cause strife. But he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Long suffering, patience. You know, it is such a delight, such a joy to be in the company of someone who's patient. It's just relaxing. When it comes to patience, I invariably recall my dad. My dad was a very, very patient man. It was such a pleasure to be in his company. My dad was a master typewriter mechanic and Andy machines. And I grew up in Brooklyn, two-story building. Downstairs, my dad had his the shop. The shop was in the back, and the showroom was in the front, and we lived upstairs. And I can recall regularly, as a young boy, coming downstairs, those 15 steps, and seeing my dad with his knees on the floor and the lamp, the overhead lamp, facing the floor because he was looking for a screw or a nut to fix a typewriter or an Andy machine. You know, what did they have? Hundreds of nuts and bolts, maybe thousands. It took a lot of patience to repair these machines. And my mom, I've mentioned this in the past to some of you, was legally deaf, and she would misconstrue and was excitable, very excitable. And my dad was always patient. I never saw my dad lose patience with my mom, never. I never heard my dad utter a foul word. He was always patient with my mom. And to top it off, he had me for a son who required the utmost of patience because I was the terror of Brooklyn. And that's not much of a stretch. You know, it's been my observation that much unhappiness is the result of impatience. How about us? Can you and me make some progress in long-suffering / patience? You bet we can. But it requires that we're sensitive, very sensitive to God's Spirit working with us. Fruit number five, gentleness, which could be considered humble. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. That is really towards the end of the book. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, brethren, before exaltation comes from God, one must be humble. God cannot work with anyone that's not humble. We're humble, and then in due time, God says he'll exalt us. Jesus Christ, the humblest man who ever walked the face of the earth, consider, was also the greatest man who ever walked the face of the earth. Jesus Christ was a man of steel and velvet. That's how you and me should be. Steel and velvet. Steel character. Velvet. He was soft, caring, sensitive, empathetic with those he interacted with, his creation. Firm in the right way when he had to be. What a wonderful character quality, steel and velvet. How about you and me? Can we make some progress in the fruit of gentleness? I believe we can. But we need to be sensitive to God's Holy Spirit working in our life. That's how. We're not going to do it on our own. Fruit number six, goodness. Mark 12, verse 41 through 44. Soon as I get there. Mark 12, verse 41 through 44. Mark 12, 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing, about 50 cents in today's currency. Not very much. And Jesus called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, truly I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast it more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Talk about sacrifice, cast in all of her living. The Christian life is one of sacrifice. That is mandatory. It's not optional. If one is not sacrificing in the Christian life, one is not living the Christian life. How about us? Is there some area in our life that perhaps we can make some progress in sacrifice? Sure, if we look hard, we could say, yeah, we can make some sacrifice with our mate, with our fellow man, with the brethren. We can make some. But it's going to take being what? Sensitive to God's Holy Spirit. That's what it's going to take. All right, let's move along to the next fruit. Fruit number seven, faith. Matthew 14, verse 22 to 31. Oh, I got there right away on this. Matthew 14, verse 22 to 31. Let me provide a little background here. This is Jesus teaching in Tiberias. He also fed 5,000 men along with women and children. And in the mountain area. Down below in the valley is the Sea of Galilee. Now, on the opposite side of the Sea of Galilee is Capernaum. That's where Jesus lived during his ministry. Okay, that's the setting where we pick up the reading. Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway, right away, Jesus constrained. He told his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So he tells the disciples, get into the ship in the Sea of Galilee, go to the other side. And when he had sent the multitudes away, Jesus went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. So it's about 9 o'clock at night. Sends everyone home. They finished eating. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, the midst of the Sea of Galilee, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now we have to picture the scene. It's very dark. All of a sudden, in the Sea of Galilee, the wind becomes strong and the waves are tumultuous. To a very slight degree, I can relate to this. Because you see, I've been in a ship in the Sea of Galilee. I've been on a ship in the Sea of Galilee during a Sabbath service when a minister was giving a message. And when he started the message, the water was very calm. There was no breeze. During the message, and certain, some things you don't forget, this is one of them, all of a sudden a strong wind came and the waves started to increase. The boat started to rock. The minister actually said, you want to go back to land? We all thought about this particular episode. That could be a little bit unnerving. Just as suddenly, the wind died down. The waves became calm. And geologists have discovered that this is a phenomenon that occurs in the Sea of Galilee because of all of the topical circumstances, actually probably subtropical. So that's the situation. Middle of early morning hours, actually dark. The wind starts ripping. The waves. This is what's happening. So let's continue on with the episode. Verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. It's about 3:30 in the morning. So here's the ship rocking, wind whistling, waves coming over the boat. And Jesus is now walking on the sea. What a scene. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out with fear. I should say they were fearful. They were trembling. Their knees were buckling. And now they think it's a spirit walking in the water. Now, what happens next? And when the disciples saw him, they saw Jesus walking in the sea, they were troubled. Oh, no, they didn't see him. They're saying it's a spirit. But straightway, right away, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. So now Jesus calms their fears, telling them, it's me, don't be afraid. So what happens with impetuous Peter? Most of us know the story. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if thou bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, well, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Can you picture this? Comes out of the ship, starts walking towards Jesus. How did he do that? How did he do that? Well, because he was sensitive to the Spirit of God. He had his eyes and faith on Jesus. That's how he did it. But it wasn't for long, was it? No. But when he saw the wind, that is when Peter saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Yeah, sure he was. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? 2 points I want to bring out. First one, consider how physically strong Jesus Christ was to pick up a grown man and keep him afloat out of the water. You know, Jesus was physically strong. He was a carpenter. Imagine doing that. Second point applies to you and me. Can we be like Peter? Can you and me be like Peter? We experience a trial to begin with. Ah, we have faith. God's with us. God's with me. I have faith in this trial. But instead of things getting better, the wind gets stronger, the waves become more treacherous, and that's what happens in our trial. And we're like Peter. We look around and we see our own limitations, our own circumstances. I can experience that very, very vividly, because when I operated my small business, my small fence company, numerous occasions I made judgments and I questioned whether I made the right judgment, whether I stepped out in faith, whether I walked on the water and really didn't have the capacity to deal with it. So now I started to doubt myself, my own judgment, which can be translated into doubting God. Was God going to save me? Because maybe I miscalculated. And I did, I'm sure, on more than one occasion. Peter miscalculated. The point. Jesus Christ saved Peter at the very end. Sometimes it'll be towards the latter part when Jesus Christ saves us. But if we are sincere, if we're dedicated, seeking to serve God, He'll pull us out of the water. He'll deliver us from our trial in His due time. How about ye, me of little faith? Can we make some progress from this lesson we just shared in expanding, increasing in our faith in this life? Can we make some progress? I believe we can. But we need to be very, very sensitive to God, Him working in our life, hearing His voice in our life. And we can make some progress in faith. We can really make some progress in faith, whatever it may be. He'll save us. He's with us. Fruit number 8, meekness. And let me move along. I've got limited time. I don't want to take too much of Tom's time. Numbers 12, verse 3. Gentleness. Numbers 12, verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. Now consider, Moses was a man who fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Not many people can survive that type of a fast. Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Yet, he was the physical head of what? 2.5-3 million people? You see, God provides leadership capabilities to one who is meek. But one has to be meek in order to experience leadership from God. Can we make some advancement in meekness? Probably, if we're sensitive to God's Holy Spirit. Final fruit, fruit number 9, tenderness, Luke 23, verse 34. Luke 23, verse 34. Luke 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Can you imagine? After all the pain, the suffering that Jesus Christ experienced, the scourging, the crucifixion. And you know something else, brethren? There was also the humiliation that Jesus experienced. Because you see, they crucified individuals at that time naked. So not only did he suffer physical pain, but emotional pain, the humiliation, all of that suffering. And he had the tenderness to say, forgive them, those that not only physically crucified him, but all mankind. And that applies to you, me. That applies to us. Forgive them. Wow. What a Lord. What a Savior. What a God you and I worship. What a wonderful, great, great God. What about you? What about me? What about us? With that example, can we make some progress in tenderness, forgiving? Not only forgiving, forgetting, not only forgiving and forgetting, but actually desiring that those individuals that have been unjust to us, in whatever way that may be, are actually going to be in the family of God. Can we have that attitude? It's only going to take being sensitive to the Spirit of God. That's the only way that's going to happen. But it can happen, brethren, if we're sensitive to God working with each and every one of us, wherever we find ourselves. That's how we can exhibit these fruits. That's how we can exhibit tenderness. That's the way. Now let's close it down with John 15, 1 to 5. John 15, 1 to 5. This is Jesus Christ speaking to you and me today. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, he trims it, he works with it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing, spiritually speaking. It starts, it begins in our life with developing to the fullest, as best as we are able, the fruits of the Spirit. That translates into increased godly character. That's a spiritual law that's axiomatic. Finally, may God bless each and every single one of you in your quest to increase in godly character as we continue in our journey into the kingdom of God, seeking to reflect more and more in our life a son, a daughter of our Father, a brother, a sister of our Lord Jesus Christ. There you have it. That's the key. That's the ticket for you and me. Have a wonderful remainder of God's weekly festival.